Spirit, say I'm blessed in Jesus' name. Say my mind is blessed. Say my body is blessed. As I fellowship with the word again. Say as I look into the word, I see my reality. As we study about salvation, I become more bold to share the gospel. Hallelujah. Thank you. Have your seat. Psalm 130 verse 3. Psalm 130 verse 3. Don't mind where I ask all of you. I value all of you. I value all of you. Amen. So, cow, sote, mani, lodi, star, gavila, roste, goman, tiste, gavila, rastage. It's just, it's that same your little strength that the Lord is looking for. He's not looking for the qualified man. He's not looking for the man that looks so fit, man that looks so equipped. No. He's looking for just you to qualify you. To qualify you, to make you, he has called you. When God gives his calling, he supports his minister. Say, God supports me. Say, God supports me. Say, there is no responsibility without empowerment. Say, before the responsibility, he already empowered me. He also counted me faithful. Hallelujah. So that's the point. Even before he gives you a responsibility, he already counted you faithful. He already said, don't worry, I know you will be faithful. Hallelujah. Say, God, trust me to do it well. That's the point. We have, for instance, we have ministry on trust. It's on trust. He trusts us. One thing we must pay attention to and we must do our best to master is, I was telling Sabuki the other time, I said we must make spirituality a pattern. A pattern to be followed. That is the work of a church. Spirituality must be a pattern, not just something that you eat and maybe you eat once in a month, or you eat in a special program, or just one ice that just pow, good program, everybody is on fire. Then after 2 weeks, everything is down. The purpose of the church is to make this thing I call spirituality a pattern. That means we are going to have. Like a graph that we maintain steadily. So if all your church demands of you is that you get 5 souls saved in a week or more or less, the purpose of the church is to ensure you are steady in that. It may not look like, okay, brother Hilary, go to the street, go and find 20 people today. Get all of them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, everything's done. After next week again, do something, then the other week, nothing again, till maybe next year. The purpose of the church is you will now make that thing you do so well, you make it a pattern. That we can say everybody in this church, they are doing this, they are learning God's word. We are going to make learning God's word a pattern, something that must always be going on. You can't be coming regularly, consistently like this, and you remain the same. Are you with me? So it must be a pattern. That's the point. I know a lot of you just love, let us have, why are we like this? Let us have one service once in a week. And Sunday service, let's come and wrap about for our Father. And just give God the glory. And once in a month, let's love feast. And let everybody be fine. I know you love that. But no, we must set a pattern. Amen? A pattern that will make you grow. Even if you are not doing money devotion. Yeah, I've told you, I know it's God, you know God trusts you, but me, I don't trust you that you're doing money devotion. So you come to church and pray. We don't tell saints to grow up. What do? We grow them up. You understand what I'm saying? Never tell anybody again. Don't say, please ensure you pray to us every day. No. Say, come, let's do it together. Amen. Don't give people targets. Go with them. Let's go. Amen. In teaching, in reaching out, we must make everything a pattern, trackable. Our salvation 22, let us, as usual, Psalm 130 verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity. Brother, can you see very well there? You need to bring that book to the front. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who shall what? Stand, right? So, if the deeds of man are placed side by side with the demands of purity, nobody will stand, right? Amen? So, next verse, verse 4, 1, 2, everybody. But there is what? Forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. The way I love to say it before is I will say, well, God's standard is actually 100% moral uprightness. And if you fall short, 99.9, you are going to hell unless you have a savior. Are you with me? That's why Galatians 2:16 says, by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified before God. But don't forget from Psalm 130, he didn't say God is. He said, if God should mark it, nobody will stand. Therefore, the forgiveness is that God is not marking iniquity. You get that? He said, if God should mark iniquity, nobody will stand. Now say, but there is what? Forgiveness we did, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21 now explains to us that forgiveness. Verse 19, to him that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not what? Counting their sins against them, and has committed to us the same word of reconciliation. Matthew 1:21. Say, we have got a savior. Say, we have got a savior. So, I can tell you clearly, God has never counted. You know, the way we see it is that in the Old Testament, God can't sin, but now he doesn't count it again. No, he does not. Why? Because the same Savior was available for them to receive in the Old Testament in a promissory note, right? In form of a promise. Say, God does not mark iniquity. Matthew 1:21. This duty of Jesus is not just a duty he started doing 2,000 years AD, I'm 2,000 years ago. No, he has been doing, he has always been in the business of justification. Are you with me? Okay, I will be fast. Matthew 1:21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sin. So if Abraham was saved from his sin, it means he had a relationship with Jesus, with the message, with his message, with the redemption plan of God. Are you with me? I'm fast. John 1:29. So, there are some things that once in discussing salvation, three things we discuss. We discuss God, we discuss sin, we discuss the Savior, and also we discuss man. God, Savior, sin, man. God, Savior, sin, man. Don't forget that. John 1:29, when the third day, John said to him and said, what? Behold, the Lamb of God, which does what? It takes away the sin of the world. That should be in Psalm 102, that says, as heaven is far away from the earth, so has he removed our iniquity, our transgression from us. Go to Micah. Chapter 7, verse 19. You must be, you know, salvation is something, is our refresh button. You must keep pressing that refresh. It's not that I've learned, no, you just keep pressing refresh, salvation. Micah 7, verse 19. Let me know why you are there. You are there? Good. Once you go, let's read. You will be merciful to us once again. You will trample. Sorry, okay, I'm reading another translation. Read KJV, yes.
You will turn again. You will have compassion upon us. You will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast not our sins into the
depths of the sea. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you will trample our sin underfoot and send them to the bottom of the sea. So it is, that's Micah. So it is actually, there is sin, but it's the Savior's duty. That's the point. Wait for your sin, confess your sin, do this and that. No, it's the Savior's duty. Are you with me, brethren? So on the cross, we have seen that is John chapter 12. He took our judgment upon himself. That's John 12 from 24. He took our judgments. That's judgments that we deserve. He took it upon himself. He went to hell, suffered for our sake. Let me say, he dumped the sins down there. Suffered for our sake, dumped the sins down there, and he rose up to justify you. Somebody asked me again, why do we have hell? Hell is actually meant for sin, not for man. Amen? Are you with me? Praise God. Why can't I ever be condemned again? Because my sin has been condemned. See, my sin has been condemned to hell. See, since I'm not going there, I will never have contact with my sin again. So he rose up to declare that you will never see your sins again. Amen, amen. So God, I say it again, God does not keep a record of sin. He rose up to tell you that you are now a new creature, a being that against whom no man can impute iniquity. So check something in Revelation 20:13. Don't forget, in this series, I will just be dissolving some seeming doubts in the heart of men gradually, once in a while, like that. Okay, I said Revelation 20, verse 13. Sorry, it's not Revelations, it's Revelation. It's a book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. 20:13. So you help us in this place to make spirituality a pattern. A pattern. A pattern. Whatsoever you are doing, anywhere you are, listen to us, make spirituality a pattern. Don't just say, I pray 24 hours today. Well, so how many hours does it remain for you in that day? Well, it's about making something doable a pattern. It's a pattern of good things. Yeah, that's the church. You must make it a pattern. We can't do it last year and we say this year we are relaxing. No, it's a pattern. Are you with me? It must be a normal routine in your life that I learn God's word and I practice what I have learned. It must be a pattern. It must be a routine. Revelation 20:13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Why should we have a verse that is saying, okay, some people will be judged according to their works? Well, it's easy. Check verse 15. See, check verse 15. It's, as I'm saying, don't read a place, just leaving the rest of the context. See verse 15. Let's read 15 together. I want to go. And whosoever was not found written in the what? Book of life was cast into. Now, before, and the condition before is that they are judged according to their works. But 15 now says it's actually because their name is not found written in life. Are you with me? So now remember Galatians 5 that says that, how do you put it again? Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Open 5, verse 2. Whosoever of you seek to be justified by the law, you are falling from grace. That's which verse? Galatians 5 verse what? 5 verse, come on. Okay, 5 verse what? Okay, I open my own Bible too. It's 5 now. Falling from grace. Okay. Is it verse 4? Okay, thank you. So verse 4, everybody, let's read together. And he said, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are what? Falling from grace. Of course, it's not saying these people have lost their salvation. It's just telling them the implication. That the implication is that if you say you want to be justified by the works of the law, you are saying, you are repudiating why Jesus died. You are saying, well, Christ, you died for nothing. So now, this is what I'm saying in essence. To reject the Savior's duty to save is to accept your own responsibility to save yourself. To reject the Savior's duty to save is to accept a responsibility to save yourself. So that's the meaning of they will be judged according to their works. Are you with me? That means, from understanding Genesis, that means you will just be allowed to be on your own. So, if there is anything called the book of life, you cannot get yourself into it by performance. Check that Exodus 32 verse 32. That is the first place we have the book of life in the Bible. Exodus 32, 32. So it's not about, yes, I'm coming, I came this week. It must be a routine of learning. You invest your money into it. You invest your tea fare, your transport fare, house rent, everything. You invest it in learning, precept unto precept, little here, little there, you get better. Are you with me, sirs? You get better. You invest. Say, so invest in learning. Say, so invest in doing. Say, so I create time for spirituality. Say, so it's a regular part of my routine. That's the point. It must be a routine. It's your life. It's a normal life. That is a normal Christian life. Huh? That you learn God's word and you do God's word. That you learn God's word and you do God. It is not something that you just eat. That you just eat haphazardly and maybe tomorrow you are back to your normal. You know, prayer must be a routine. Learning must be a routine. Getting men into the knowledge of God must be a routine. Are you with me, sirs? Okay, Exodus 32, 32. Want to go? Let's read. Yeah, now, if thou will forgive. Okay, are you not there? Am I reading something else? Exodus 32, 32. Okay, want to go? Yes? Yeah. If thou will forgive their sin. If not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast. Now, Moses was playing something intelligent here. He was trying to take up a role of a savior. He was interceding for them. He now said, take me out, that they may be saved. Are you with me? He was talking like he was boasting that I know I'm in your book now. He doesn't know that he's not in any book. So Moses was like saying, take me out to what? For them to be what? For their sins to be forgiven. See it again. See it from that place. If not, he said, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, that means if you will not forgive their sin, blot me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say Jesus came to fulfill that. Say Moses couldn't. Because he had sin himself. But Jesus, because he has no sin, was condemned for our sake that we might be justified. So it's just so clear. He was simply trying. This is like I tell you, when we are talking about typology. Typology is not just in saying the rod of Aaron symbolized our justification, or the flower that budded symbolized the Holy Ghost. Don't say things like that. At times, in their utterances, for instance, what he just said there now, he just spoke about how God will save us. This is the same thing as 2 Corinthians 5:21. That take me out, but forgive these people. Praise God. So that was his savior's duty. But see the response to C33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whomsoever sinned against me, him will I what? Blot out of my book. Rush to Isaiah 43:27. So the need of man from fall has always been a mediator for the man in sin, for the man in rebellion, to give the man in rebellion a chance to come back. He needed mediation. Mediation. You mediate between like two opposing parties. Are you with me? That is why I have told you, Jesus to us is a number of things. He is the mediator of the man in sin, but is okay. For instance, okay, think about it. Abel, who is Jesus to Abel? So hold on, let me use the word savior or mediator. Abel, huh? Okay, so who is God to Cain? Savior or mediator? I know it's both. For instance, and I just gave you something now. I said mediation is used for what? Two opposing parties, right? Huh? To bridge the gap, to bring them together. Abel sought God himself, right? Huh? Remember? And he found God. So to Abel, Jesus is just what? Savior. Huh? That means, also, when we are saying, at times when we say he saved me from my sin, it doesn't always mean he saved me from bad conduct.
God.
At times, he saved me from my sin also means he gave me an alternative from death. He gave me an alternative from going my own way. When you say I'm saved from my sins, doesn't it always mean that I'm a bad girl, bad boy, I'm doing bad thing? Are you with me? No, that is not always the meaning. At times, when you just hear saved from sin, he saved you from your own way. He saved you from going down that path. Everybody does know how to go down into damnation before they are saved. So, to Abel, savior or mediator. But to Cain, before savior, what will happen? Mediator, right? Remember, Cain prayed, right? So, like, even in the prayer, we are already seeing the mercy of God again extending to Cain. I can't say people will kill me. Don't worry, I will put a mark on you that what? Anybody that sees you will not kill you. So that mercy, Romans 2 later told us that that mercy is intended to what? Bring man to repentance. To bring him back from his own way. Are you with me? You should understand that I'm picking all these small from deductions from our last series. So back to Isaiah 43:27. The word walks in my body. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there, Tola? 43:27. Good. Want to go? Let's read. Thy first father had seen. Wow. Yes. Now, teachers then is the same Greek word, Hebrew word, something like it means teacher, it means mediators. If you check some translation, you will see, like I have Dabi here, he said, thy first father Adam had sinned, and thy mediators, Moses, Samuel, etc., have rebelled against me. So, first father will imply Adam, right? Mediators will be, so those people who came to stand in the gap, we have, that's why later 1 Timothy 2:4-5 said there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Are you with me? So Moses in that place, he tried to mediate, but Jesus is the only perfect mediator. Praise God. As I Moses that time, we kill them, finish them very well, later we have mercy on them again. Amen. So, why Moses could not perfectly mediate is that he himself is a man with sin. It will only take a man without sin to mediate on behalf of the man with sin. So, just today, we see take up that role of Jesus when we extend his mercy to the sinner. 2 Corinthians 5:19-20, we beseech you or in God's stead, be ye reconciled to, for them to come into repentance. Amen, amen, amen. 5:21 again, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Open. Once to go, let's read. For he hath made him to be what? Sin for us. Who knew? Hold on, that's the catcher. Who knew no sin? That is the embodiment, the reason behind the incarnation. Brother Divine, are you with me? He knew no sin. He made the man that knew no sin to be what? Sin for us. So he made him to be sin for us. That will imply his death. Who knew no sin will imply the incarnation. Are you with me? The only way you will come into humanity without sin is if you are God. Are you with me? that we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him. So, when do you think Jesus received the indwelling of the Spirit? Question. It's actually inside our Jesus. But I wish I will quick start when I'm done with this. When do you think Jesus received the indwelling? Brady, why? So, what is the God factor in Jesus when he was young? So, Matthew 12, 50, 31. Amen, amen. Is that funny? Stuffs. Because I would have asked you, because don't forget, babies really are not born with sin. So what's the different thing about Jesus? Jesus followed by pattern two. Yes, so the incarnation of Jesus. No, Jesus was a full man, right? Doesn't mean that because he was God. Yes. I'll punch you. Don't say that, please. He was God. He became a man. Say, you didn't listen. You understand Genesis. You didn't listen very well. He was. Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you. That is also in Christ, who, although he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what? He took upon himself the what? Form. He took it. For he became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect to suffering. For both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are of one origin. That's the point. It's not 100% God. It's 100% man. So, but what is the God factor in him? I didn't say the answer to the microphone, so your answer can be valid or invalid. So, we see that later. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. We have a generation that will clearly explain God. You don't just go to Muslims and you force it down their throat. Accept it. God has a son. Accept it. Accept. Say, how will God have a son? Who is the wife of God? I just accept it. I don't know. Son of God is just a terminology, not biological birth. Amen. It's just to describe someone in whom all of God is available in. He's the Son of God. Simple. Heir of God. Oios of God. Never take none. So, Matthew 12, 31. So, he was qualified to take away our sins because he had no sin. So, we now add a verse that looks like Matthew 12, 21, 31. Matthew 12, 31. So, who was the first man to add the indwelling of the Spirit in history? Matthew 12, 31. It's not related to this, what I'm reading. I'm just asking you a rhetorical question. Amen, amen. Once we go, let's read. Therefore, I tell you. Keep Keep reading. Next verse, yes. Thank you. That's the main part I'm going to. Now, you can see that although Jesus is saying something, but he said, well, the sin I'm about to discuss right now, this one has never been forgiven before, and it will never be forgiven in the future. Are you with me? So, to tell you that, although Jesus came in a time in history, but his influence over creation has been since creation. Are you with me? Although he came at this time, but he told you, say, there is a sin related to me that has never been forgiven before me, or now, or after even my redemption. Are you with me? So, let me read Amplified Version for you, that verse 31. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy, every evil, abusive, injurious speaking, or indignity against sacred things shall be forgiven them. Amen. That's serious. No, see, this is enough for you to just preach down salvation. Are you with me? God said everything will be forgiven. So what is your stress? Are you with me? He said, all manner. No, that's a lot. He said, all manner. He said, what of Shekara Bukara? He said, all manner. What of Osama Bin Laden? All manner. Amen. He said, but the blasphemy. What of people who did Okija shrine? All manner. But see the issue. The blasphemy against the what? The spirit shall not and cannot. I'm trying to say and cannot be forgiven. Amen. So John 16, verse 14. So before we know what that sin against the Holy Ghost is, we must know what is the message of the Holy Ghost. What is the duty of the Holy Ghost? Is he just there to be floating around? You know, have you seen the Holy Ghost in your dream before? Two wings, flows, is gentle, whitish, like Hillary. Cool, calm, doesn't talk too rough like your pastor. Like Pastor Nega will say, don't go. If you say you want to go and do something bad, you just say, Stephen, don't go. Say, grieve not the Holy Spirit. It's not like it's moody. He thinks it's a lady. It's moody. It's grieve. My heart, you grieve my heart. Hallelujah. Soft, sweet spirit. Sweet. Ah. Sweet Holy Spirit, we wait on you. Sweet. Hallelujah. Learn to separate romance from your worship. Lord, you are the love of my life. He saw him. The reality is the lyrics. Not, Do you know there are actually some Christian songs that if you simply change it to your boyfriend, sing it to your husband, it will just what is that? Yeah,
I know it was Pastor Nega that said it too.
That someone just singing, he lives in you, hell, even a ghost can live in you. What is living? You can't even mention it. So don't just be carried away with emotion, just sweet. Let me tell you, in Michael Jackson will be singing. Have you seen Michael Jackson and Crusade before? Sorry, I call you Crusade. He will be singing. People will be falling down, crying. Oh my God! Seriously. Just like the day one day that the teller is telling about this Peace Square. So have you seen Peace Square? Wow! So my God, see these guys, my God, Pastor, you don't understand. Ah.
Joshua, sorry. Amen, amen. So emotion, you don't have to be emotional about it. He's my savior, simple. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is from the depth of my. Where is the depth of your heart? This is not the depth of your heart. This is not. You can't see that one. Amen. The proof that you are saying from the depth of your heart is that you still say it tomorrow to a sinner, that you make it a duty. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's not that thing. That's why, you know the things that we did in this church, we did a year teaching before we now say, okay, let's do the singing is finished work. So we just don't come out. We are just trying to. Let's do some. Some, oh, God, Jesus. Now we hearing something. Say thank you, Jesus. Some people say, Jesus does not really match some maybe keyboard stuff. Let's just call him Jesus. Oh, yeah, Jesus. Say, I love you, Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Amen. Whether it's sweet or not sweet, he lives in you. Amen. Praise God. Sweet or bitter, anyone he is in you. Praise God. So he said a sin against the spirit cannot be forgiven. So what is the message of the spirit? John 16, 14. One to go, let's read. He shall what? Come on, John 16, 14. He shall glorify me. Amen. For he shall what? Receive of mine. Receive of what is mine. Brother Divine, my eyes go to and fro. I haven't told you that once you are slow in opening your Bible, you are sinning against the Holy Ghost. I haven't told you. Now you have known. So open your Bible fast. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. So he said he will receive of mine. Don't forget in that Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, even if you speak against me, no problem. I will forgive you. But if you speak against the Holy Ghost, but now he's saying, we are not saying, okay, what is the message of the Holy Ghost? He said the message of the Holy Ghost is the things he receives of me. So if you like, say I don't like Jesus, no problem. But that is death, burial, and resurrection. If you like, if you are the man that struck Jesus by the side, the one that slapped his face, the one that put crown upon, say no problem. But when the Holy Ghost brings that message, he said, he will what? Receive of mine. So what are the things that are Christ? His redemption plan. Do you get that? So it's not about the personality of Jesus. It's not rejecting the personality of Jesus that brings damnation. It's rejecting the duty of Jesus. Some people say, well, why is the Savior not a man? Sorry, not a woman. Why must we know feminism? Why? So they say, even this God is by us. Eh? Why must God come? Why must Jesus come a man? Why does he come a woman? It's not about man. You are, don't worry. If you hate him for becoming a man, no problem. He will forgive you. But if you now reject his duty, because of whatever reason, say that sin, that is a sin. Say the message of the Spirit is the duty of Jesus. Is the redemptive office of Jesus. Thank you. That was the message of the Savior. That redemptive duty. The same thing Hebrews 10:29 is saying. Perfect, are you getting it? Thank you. Hebrews 10:29. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The same thing is the message of the Spirit. 10:29. Anything? You there? Want to go? Let's read. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be taught worthy who are trodden under the foot, what? The Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith an unclean thing. And have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Are you with me? So that's the main thing. Now, of course, the way this place is constructed, it looks like he has already been sanctified. Remember when we did this? Only Tola should be here. Tola and who else? Nobody else. And of course, Pastor Joel. Amen. Okay, I think we enter the book of Hebrews again and we do it proper. But not now. So he's not saying he is sanctified. Now he's saying, I am rejecting what sanctified me. No. Are you with me? No, that's not what he's saying. So he said, and has counted the blood of the covenant, the blood that sanctifies. Let's see that way for now. So he is counting the blood that sanctifies an unclean thing. And he has done, what's the last part? Despite unto the Spirit of grace. Because what the Spirit of grace brought to him is that he brought the blood of Jesus. The blood is for your redemption. The Spirit is for you. So the Spirit brings the message of the blood. So when you now say no to that blood that sanctifies, you say of how much sore punishment. That is a sin against the Spirit. That is unbelief to the gospel. Not when somebody is prophesying and say, is that the Spirit, or you just speak against the man of God? No, it's when you stand against that Jesus in his redemptive office. So the Spirit of God via a preacher comes and witness to a man that Jesus has paid for your sins, and he says, no, that cannot be forgiven. You tell him Jesus has sanctified you, purified you, but you must receive him. And he said, no, that cannot be forgiven. And man says, I don't agree. He died to set you free. He said, no, I don't agree. Amen. No, please, can you see something? That a lot happens with our mind. For instance, faith and unbelief starts where? Huh? You know that message, honoring God with your thoughts. It looks small, but it's big, oh. It's big. This salvation that will make you never to taste hell eternally, you made that decision in your mind, and God honored it, my God. That is a lot. That is a lot. Don't forget, you only said with your mouth what you have believed in your heart, right? Are you with me? Come on, this is just first sermon. So you only said with your mouth what you have believed in your heart. But that believing happened where? It happened inside. You know when the Bible says heart is a constituent of both mind and spirit? Amen? So when a man believes in his mind, but the issue is you are believing what? The message enough is powerful. Once the message comes to the mind and you believe, it renews the spirit. Amen. The spirit becomes raised from the dead, same way Christ was raised from the dead. Just at that instant. So think about putting the thoughts of God in that mind constantly. You will explode as a minister of the gospel. That's why I beg you. You know, I was saying yesterday that meditation on sin is worse than what? Action of sin. That mind, this is the factory. This is where things happen. What do you put there? You want to have a power ministry? How much do you put power there? Oh, you only remember power when you see the sick. That is not your story. You put the power there. You want to have an explosive teaching ministry? Put it there. You must put it there. Come on. Why? You put salvation there for you to be saved. You made decision for salvation. You made it here. See, a lot happens in the mind of the believer. Okay. So, back to St. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. So, that is the attitude that Matthew 12 was talking about. Blasphemy against the Spirit. And the reason the sin cannot be forgiven is that the sin itself is to reject forgiveness. You are saying, forgiveness, I don't want that. So how can you be forgiven? See, Hebrews 3 verse 7. Want to go? Let's read. Yes. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost, what? Say it. Wow. Today, if you hear his voice, next verse, adding not where? Your hearts. Value your heart. Just value it.
Father, I know you are saved already. I'm not saying you should. I'm not saying you should. I'm not telling you this for you to be saved. I'm just telling you this for you to be a consistent Christian in good things. A Christian consistent in the priority, in emancipating things of the kingdom.
So adding not your heart. Imagine. He said when the message comes to you, he's not expecting any action.
Wow. Say the heart. Just don't add it. Don't say no.
Adding not means don't say no.
No, in Los Angeles, there's a part we discuss. We say, well, even if we didn't say you agree that day, just don't say no.
Wow. The message enough is so powerful because don't say no.
Amen, amen. Oh, glory to God.
The message is self-sufficient to save, but don't say no.
Just say nothing in your heart, right? Remember? Huh? That was Deuteronomy 34, something around that area. Don't forget where he took that Romans 10 from. Now we studied it, right? Okay, just try and be refreshing these things.
So the same thing happened when the 12 spies went to Canaan, when they checked the land. I mean, that was this documentation that this people was giving us. And they said, we cannot conquer. Ah, God has not said you should conquer. God just said, move. Don't say no. See the exploit that has been done before, and don't say no. So that is same. Same way, he's telling Israel that, okay, see the way I conquered Pharaoh, you cross the sea, I provide water, see what I have done, don't say no about this. Same way, you tell the sinner, Jesus died, he came out from the grave. We have proof. The power of God is a proof, right? Are you with me? That we speak in tongues is also a proof, right? We have proof, the miraculous is also a proof, right? The word is a proof, right? So you don't say no. That same experience cannot happen to you. Same way he told those guys, don't say no that you cannot enter the land because of the things that has been done. Also for the sinner, because Jesus has died, he rose from the dead. Don't say no to your own salvation. Jesus was saved, right? You know that, right? No, he was the first one to be born again, right? From spiritual death to spiritual life, right? Romans, check Romans 1 from 1 to 4. He was saying he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So he was born twice. Amen? So we can say he was the first one to be born again. Are you with me? Okay, good. Oh, I can even say he was the only person in history that lost his salvation and got it back. Something like that. Hallelujah. Sell. So back to Hebrews 3, verse 18. So all of them, they died in the wilderness, not because of their different sins, but because they did not believe the report of God. That's why later said in Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? Say the man that believes that report, the power of God will be unveiled. That is semantic parallelism. Who is it that? So who has believed our report? And to whom? Is it what? He's talking to the same person. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the power of God revealed? Are you with me? Same, just put it in parallel. The man that believes the report is the man. Hallelujah. Unto whom the power is revealed. That's sweet. Ooh, amen, amen. Say, I believe God's report. I have unveiled God's power. Amen, amen. It's so sweet, man. See, when you believe, you unveil power. Ooh. Glory to God. So Hebrews 3:18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter? Like, wow. How to enter predestination to teach you to say this clearly. Say, to whom swear he that they should not enter? That would mean God placed a demarcation that salvation will only be available in believing this report. If you ask me what is the predestination of God, he set a boundary that salvation is only available in believing this report of the Savior. Are you with me? He set the boundary of salvation. That is his predestination. So if you want to say God is sovereign, does God predetermine those who will be saved? Yes. So who are those he predetermined to be saved? The people that will find themselves in Christ. So that thing that we call predetermination of God or predestination is just that. Let's say God created a room in humanity. The room is Christ. In Christ, you are saved. Outside Christ, you are not saved. So, how do I get into Christ? Your choice. Are you with me? So, God's predestination does not override man's choice. Are you with me? But he set a clear mark. This is it. This is it. Inside here, you are saved. Outside here, you are doomed. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Hebrews 3:18, to whom swear ye that they should not enter into Israel, but to them that believe not. Verse 19, want to go? So we see that they could not enter because of their unbelief. So the sin that will not make that will make a man not to be found in the book of life of Revelation is unbelief to the gospel. That is a sin that Jesus cannot forgive. Are you with me? He sinned against the Holy Ghost. So, let me read Matthew 12:31 for you from Message Translation. Listen. Said, there is nothing done or said that can't be forgiven. But if you deliberately persist in your slanders against God's Spirit, you are repudiating the very one who forgives. I take it again. The message is not always perfect, but this one, the God is right here. Say, there is nothing done or said that can't be forgiven. That's serious. No, Jesus did not say every man, all manner of sin will be forgiven when you confess them. Are you with me? See, you will forgive. Forgiving means they will not be counted. Forgiveness to God is that I don't count it. Amen. But you now say, okay, but if you deliberately, circle that word deliberately, slander. Oh, sorry. Wow. There are two words here that are so strong. If you deliberately persist. No, it's not the first day that they rejected God that they died in the wilderness. That is what is now called God's long suffering. 40 years they were there. Long suffering. So, if you deliberately persist in your slander against God's Spirit, you are repudiating the very one who forgives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. So, the sin not forgiven is to reject the eternal forgiveness for sins. That's the same thing. And that is similar to that. I'm not going to this one yet. So, go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. So, can a believer commit the sin against the Holy Ghost? Why? He has believed. He has crossed. He has passed, right? Hebrews 4, verse 3. Want to go? What's there? For we which have what? Believe, do enter where? Rest. So, in the position of rest, believing is not required for you to remain. Hallelujah. Come on, you get that? It's not required for you to remain there. Rest is rest. What is rest? Rest. Hallelujah. What is rest? No other thing will be required of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The believer is the one who can cause signs, sealed, and delivered. Signs sealed and delivered. You are already in God's destination. You know, people that always talk about losing your salvation, they're just not serious. Once you play Super Mario, once you enter Queen's house, can you ever come out? You rest. Game over. People always talk about where can't a man come back again and lose? You have cross. You rest. There are a lot of things in nature that is already teaching that salvation is irreversible. Once you cross the last enemy or the last golly, just can be. In fact, you don't even have to press enter. Think you'll be going, hey, bye bye. You go back, go back, go back. You will not enter. No, it's too late. Hallelujah. Amen. Say for a believer to enter hell. It's too late.
It's too late.
Just, he's already on auto cruise. Amen. If you like, turn everything, it won't answer you again. You are there. Say, I'm in God's destination. So Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you are what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. I love the way Good News Bible puts it. He said, and you also became God's people. When you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation, you believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. Praise God. Say, God has a stamp of ownership on me. Lastly on this, John chapter 14, verse 16. So, workers in training. How long will the Spirit stay in the believer? Huh? You've forgotten your answer. Okay. What is the question? Yes. Why would the Holy Ghost stay in you forever? I now added something to the just a letter. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I say, you say, yeah, the answer is because Jesus said so. And Jesus could say it because of what he will do. Hallelujah. So John 14, 16. Let's read this together and we close. Come on. John 14, 16. Glory to God. One, two, go. Yeah. And I will pray the Father. Amen. Hold on. I will pray the Father. What does it mean? Is it prayer point? Fasting prayer, fall down and die. God will do, Jesus will do fall down and die. So what is it? I will pray the Father. I will beg the Father. What he will do? Thank you. How will he pray the Father? What he will do? So his death, burial, resurrection is praying the Father. It's not pray the Father. It's not I will raise from there. Now go and start. Ah, God, Pentecost, send it. Send it. Hallelujah. No, come on. You know, when he's, you know, after being raised, he is seated. He is seated means he had authority. Are you with me? Now he now had authority to send the Spirit. So we receive the Spirit because Jesus, what? Had the authority. Amen. So I will pray means I will become qualified to give you the Spirit. Man sitting on the throne of God. So let's read again. Want to go? Yes. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you what? Another comforter. That he might. To the inter. He didn't say that so that he may. Maybe so that he may. He may not. No. But I am doing this so that he might. Are you with me? That he might is conditional, not on the Spirit, is on what he will do. It's conditional on the initial part of the sentence. Are you with me? So, I will smash this mic on your cheek so that you might have a flat nose. Something like that, right? So, the might is not that you will have a flat nose or not. The might is is the conjunction between my action and the result. Are you with me? So it's not that some people see put condition that can you see that God is he may, so he can choose to be in you forever, he can choose not to be in you forever. No, that's not what he's saying. The might is conditioned on his duty. So I will pray the Father, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. The intent of the giving is so that he can stay forever. Amen. So no one receives the Holy Ghost and receive this for a while. Is that you receive him forever or you have not received at all? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, I've received once and for all
I have received the Spirit forever. I'm in God's destination.
Okay. Thank you. You can have 5 minutes of recess. Amen. Mr. Peace.